live at ATIA 2011. It's Michael Off, and it's been 2 years, but catching up here with Bill McCann with Dancing Dots. Bill's got a new product here, more for folks low vision needing to read and maybe modify their music scores. What are you offering now, Bill?
We have a new product. We call it the Limelighter, and it is essentially, you can think of it as an electronic music stand for low vision people. It literally does sit on a music stand from Manhasset. We have a custom stand to support it. It's a 20-inch diagonal screen, and it's a touch screen. You see your music on the screen. We can zoom up the magnification up to 10 times the original size. And you press on a foot control, on a pedal, to basically scroll through your music. You never have to turn a page. You press the pedal and the music slides from right to left across your field of vision. And the nice thing there too is you don't have to move your eyes so far. It's basically always in the same area. So people have issues with refocusing. It's simpler. When you come to the end of the line, it just brings you down to the next line immediately. Again, you don't have to turn the page when you get to the bottom of a page, and it kind of smoothly scrolls through the music. It also comes with a stylus, or you can even use your finger. If the conductor or your teacher says, hey, I want you to circle that note or cross that measure out, you can simply mark up your music as you would with your pencil. And the next time you open that particular piece of music, your marking is going to be there.
And how much is this unit?
The unit is priced comparably to something called MyReader from Humanware. It's just under $4,000. That includes the pedal, the special music stand, the we standardized on an HP TouchSmart computer, and all the software. I should mention too, it comes with music scanning software so that you can scan your print music library in and have it in the format where you can where you can magnify it and access it. So it comes as a complete package, and we've started to sell them just a few months ago. We've been selling to schools and professional musicians. We've got one professional singer in the Bay Area in California who our dealer sold it to, but I'm told that he got so excited that he hadn't been able to read music or perform it while he read it. He has been memorizing for many years, and so he got so excited he wept. He just so thankful that he could now actually read the music while he's singing it instead of studying and looking at it and then having to memorize it.
Right, now his ability to play something on demand or on request, as long as he's got it.
To literally sight read music. I, as a blind musician, as some of your listeners may know, we've been here since 1992. We have a whole suite of tools to let you scan music, listen to it, turn it into what we call an accessible score in Braille and in verbal and musical cues. And we have audio production software based on the Sonar, a popular Sonar application. But this is our first venture into low vision. And I'm very used to, as a blind musician, memorizing music. That's what I do. But I was surprised we've been working on it for almost 3 years in our field testing. I was surprised to find how many low vision people also tend to memorize their music because they don't have a way to actually scroll it while they're performing. And that's one of the problems that this device solves for you.
So I assume you put in there the timing of the music so it scrolls at the appropriate speed, right?
Well, basically, maybe I can show you. I don't know if Albert's showing someone. Albert, can I quickly show something? We need to get the speech on. But basically, let's say you have a song like Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which is one of our demo songs. You control the scrolling because each measure, it kind of like, I'm going to clap when I would press.
Wait a minute, right. Okay, so I think I've thought of the answer. There's a question there that obviously it's sensing the music as it's playing, so certainly.
Right, so if you want to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, I'm gonna clap every time you would press. So it'd be take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. So each time I'm clapping, that would be when I press the pedal And each time I do that, it slides from the current measure I'm in to the next measure.
Okay, that's where my mind didn't click, the concept of the pedal that you're using that to move along to control the...
We did experiment with some kind of automatic scrolling, and I'd like to kind of get back to that, but the short answer was that it was either always a little too slow or a little too fast for most people, and they got distracted trying to slow it down or speed it up, and then they'd miss a note. You know, so we decided...
Right, it's great with something with a defined beat to it, but...
Let's let somebody...
Just on a keyboard, you might not get the results you want.
Right, let them control the pace of the music, and it seems to work well. Another thing I should say is, because we build it on top of a music editor program, we know where the bar lines are. We know where the repeat marks are. So in music, for example, there's something called repeated sections. So that you can go back, let's say, and sing the second verse of...
Same as the first.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And when you go back, to save space and to make it easier to memorize, you might have an 8-bar section that when you sing it the first time through, you go back and sing new words with the same music. Well, what's nice about this is when you're, say, getting to the end of that section, if you press in the center of the pedal, it's smart enough to say, oh, I got to bounce back to the beginning of this repeated section. So it actually has some intelligence built in to know the structure of the piece, as opposed to viewing it, say, just like viewing a big PDF file. Well, PDF files are great, but they're not connected to an editor that knows that, oh, I'm in a repeated section. Because otherwise, if you're not in a repeat, the thing bounces you back to the beginning of the piece. So there's some smarts built into it.
Sounds like a good product. Was it dancingdots.com?
Dancingdots.com. The product, again, is called the Limelighter. It's kind of a play on words because it's built on a notation program called Lime, and it kind of puts you in the limelight as a performer.
Gotcha.
The Limelighter, dancingdots.com. And that's the newest product. And as again, we still have all the good old stuff we've had for years, just coming out with a new version of our Goodfeel Braille Music Translator, a suite of software that lets you scan, edit, and transcribe music into Braille or an accessible format. That we finally got official with Windows 7, and it also has a couple of nice new things and some bug fixes. So that's new.
Just one question for you here.
Yeah.
And I hope it's not off topic here, but I know you mentioned Sonar. Seems to me, and of course I'm not in the music industry, but it seems to me a lot of people are either, a few are jumping on like Pro Tools for the Mac, now that they made that accessible, but also this Reaper project for Windows and of course the Mac. Are you seeing that? Are musicians adopting this? What are you seeing in that space?
The landscape is changing quickly, and in fact, we are... looking at some stuff on the Apple side, and I guess the short answer is, our assessment is that for the hobbyist, for the person who's kind of just wants to have a little fun, the tools are getting there. Between that Reaper thing and the GarageBand on the Mac, the tools are getting there. For the professional, as great as Pro Tools is, and we've made some advances. Brian Smart, who works for me and I rely on, who also did a lot of testing, his assessment is that Sonar is still the way to go. It gives you the most flexibility. Even Sonar compared to Reaper, you just have a lot more options for sounds and for, say, post-production options that you don't have with Reaper. But if you just want to get in there and have some fun, it's great that these other tools are coming along, and I believe Pro Tools will get better, and we're going to be there. We're starting to sell Apple computers. We're going to be offering a course in learning to use GarageBand on the Mac. But as far as Pro Tools, our assessment is do your work in Sonar. If you need to go over to a Pro Tools session, you can export it. And we're selling computers where we can set you up with a dual boot. You can do your work in Windows on Sonar, export your project, and import it right into Pro Tools. There is a format that Sonar allows you to save your work as a Pro Tools session. So I think we're gradually seeing a transition, or maybe more accurately, we're seeing a transition, not maybe from one platform to another, but from a time when you really didn't have a lot of choices as a blind person to where you have more. And I think that's cool.
That's the key, is the choices. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, speaking as a blind musician and maybe taking off my hat as the president of Dancing Dots, I'm really happy about that. And I think it can feed back into my role as the president of Dancing Dots if we're smart enough, and I hope we are, to follow the trend and help people use the tools that they want to choose and not have to say, because people used to call me, I say, well, you know, you can try Pro Tools, but believe me, you're going to get frustrated. You want to get this sonar thing. Now I can say, well, what do you want to do? You just want to have a little fun? We'll teach you to use GarageBand and you can have some fun. Do you want to make professional recordings? You want to, you know, or sell your music? Maybe you want to look at sonar because you're going to have a lot more choices.
Oh, very good. Final question for you. 2 years ago, I asked you for a piece of hardware. At that time, you recommended the Personas Firebox.
Right.
So much has come out in the way of hardware since we spoke in the last 2 years. What do you recommend to someone right now? And, of course, I realize that depends on what they want to do.
Yeah. Well, right now, with Windows 7, until Windows 7, really have been talking more lately about M-Audio gear. And the nice thing about M-Audio, by the way, is it works with the Pro Tools stuff on the Mac, and it works with Sonar very well. But we also, for the higher-end people, we've been selling a lot of what the Mackie Onyx, O-N-Y-X.
Yes, that's what I have, a 1220.
Yeah, the 1220, it's great, that whole line, A20i, 1220i. The drivers are real stable on Windows 7. It's a combination of a really solid mixer and a really good audio interface. So that's what I have over on my table right now with me. And that's going to be starting at $400 going up. For people who want to maybe spend a little less money on a budget, maybe in the $200-$300 range, there is, we like this one device from, Roland.
Right.
And it's a USB 2-in, 2-out audio device. Very, very nice. They just discontinued it a couple weeks ago. They said they were going to announce something new at NAMM last week, and I haven't caught up to see what they want to replace it with. But I'm hoping it's something that's as accessible for the software control panel and other things as this box was.
So do you sell that hardware as well, or do you work with third party?
Oh, yeah. We sell it. In fact, we have some... We have some standing arrangements with some of the suppliers in the business that do a lot higher volume than we do, where we can get in a wholesale price and still sell it at the minimum advertised price. So, yeah, we really appreciate it when blind people come to us, if they do come to us, because, you know, you're going to get the price that you would have paid.
It's a few extra bucks to help along and support. So
right.
I'm glad we mentioned that, because I think in the past we didn't mention it. You actually move hardware through the website. So
we're selling whole workstations too. We've sold workstations to a lot of people, kind of full service software, hardware, and we've been doing some training for professionals especially, but even doing a lot of remote training with Tandem and the telephone for people who just want to take a couple hours and learn a few key things.
Well, you're going to have some other options there too. Of course, system access, you have remote access with any screen reader.
Exactly.
Windows 7.5 is coming out with remote access to other users who also have 7.5. So that's going to be some, and I guess the hardcores can even get into the DAWs, the digital audio workstations. So
exactly, and that's what I'm talking about. That's what we're selling. Again, you're mentioning these other tools. We're living in a really exciting time for blind people, and maybe it's good to just stop and say that out loud once in a while, because 30, 40 years ago, we had Slate and Stylus here. I have my Slate and Stylus.
Right. It is.
I have my cassette recorder.
Yeah, it is a great time. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Bill, thanks a lot, buddy. I got to make
Thank
the
you,
rounds
Mike.
Here in this big event.
Always good to chat with you.
Always good, sir. Okay. Live at ATIA 2011, this is Michael Loft for Serum Talk.